200 years ago today, a musical misfit was born. He grew up in a tiny hamlet in southwest France, but went on to make a huge impression on the world of classical music with a fantastic symphony. NPR's Tom Heisinger profiles the musical life of the misunderstood romantic named Hector Berlioz.
Music like this, the Symphonie Fantastique, puzzled listeners in the 1830s. Some even thought it was dangerous. They'd never heard anything like it. Neither had conductor Colin Davis. 50 years ago, he was an impressionable young clarinetist, soaking up his first notes of Berlioz.
I just never heard music like that. Melodies that wafted away and then came back to earth a long way off. Well, suddenly hear a sound that you haven't heard before, and you've just simply got to pursue it, find out where it came from, what else is there, who was he? And so I was off on that long journey.
Colin Davis's journey led him deep into the world of Berlioz to become one of the composer's most ardent champions. Davis says Berlioz had ideas so original, it was as if he dropped in from another planet.
He just came from nowhere, really. He was the son of a country doctor. He'd never heard a symphony orchestra till he was 17, when he went to Paris to be a medical student. 10 years later, he produced the Fantastic Symphony. And that, I guess, is genius. It's nothing else. It just is.
Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique from 1830 was a shocking autobiography in sound, documenting his obsessive pursuit of the Shakespearean actress Harriet Smithson. Berlioz used, well, some said abused, the symphony orchestra as an outlet for the feverish emotions of a man gone wildly in love. In Berlioz's hands, brass snarled and winds shrieked like a feral beast. Hector Berlioz grew up in an age that celebrated feelings over reason, free-flowing imagination, and a passion for the heroic. Perhaps a backlash against the prior Age of Enlightenment, which tried solving the world's problems through rational thought. Colin Davis.
He was the first genuine romantic. Maybe the only genuine romantic. He was the one who burst on the musical scene with a new voice. He wasn't writing for professors or for anybody else except himself. The Romantics are famous for being the center of the universe, and I guess he was the only one who lived in his.
In Berlioz's universe, music, literature, and life were all one highly personal expression, and Berlioz often enjoyed expressing himself on a grand scale. While the typical orchestra of the day may have held around 50 players, Berlioz envisioned 500 musicians for his Requiem, spreading out 4 additional brass choirs in each corner of the concert hall. With walls of sound roaring at hurricane strength, it's not surprising that Berlioz acquired the reputation, even in cartoons of the day, for being a noisy composer. But looking back today, it's easy to see how Berlioz simply paved the way for the supersized orchestras composers Gustav Mahler and Richard Strauss would build at the dawn of the 20th century. And for Colin Davis, the bigness of Berlioz is only one side of his musical personality.
You've only got to listen to the Nuit d'été, the first song cycle, by the way, that was ever written, to admire the imagination with which he uses 6 instruments.
In the 1830s, Berlioz produced one groundbreaking piece after another. 3 vastly different symphonies, the Fantastique, Harold in Italy, and Romeo and Juliet, plus the Requiem and the opera Benvenuto Cellini. Yet Berlioz could barely pay his bills. For money, he wrote music criticism. He hated it, but he had loads of wit and a sharp ear. He was also quick to criticize the entire French music scene, which he felt never understood him. Once he wrote, "In Paris, music too often speaks to morons, barbarians, and the deaf." Paris was also slow to pick up on Berlioz's most ambitious work, The Trojans, completed in 1858. It's a five-act, four-and-a-half-hour epic opera that follows the fall of Troy and the founding of Rome. Colin Davis's first recording of The Trojans in 1969 marked the first time it had been performed complete as Berlioz imagined. Davis's second recording of the opera won him 2 Grammy Awards last year.
If you want to have your imagination stimulated, listen to the hysteria, the outraged cries of Cassandra, to whom nobody will listen. There isn't anything like that anywhere. And I could go on. I have an enthusiasm beyond my years.
Five years after Berlioz died, a Boston newspaper in 1874 declared, "Berlioz will be utterly unknown 100 years hence to everybody but the encyclopedists." But through recordings and concerts, Colin Davis and other conductors who have found brilliance in the music have proven that prophecy false, making Berlioz a popular romantic hero for the 21st century. Tom Huizinga, NPR News.